to where the money is being spent. But that intent, the intent of that is to bring about solutions in the system that are missing right now. And that means filling in the gaps of what we need in the future so that we have a better perspective. And we, you also heard already that the transit-oriented has been taken away, and I was one that was not, I didn't want it because the Southwest, and this is one place where I raised my hat for Southwest, we got 2% of what we put into it back, whereas the Central City got 43% of what they put in or what was totally collected. So the Central City really did benefit overall. And I realized that the city is the core of a sort of a wagon wheel, if you will. And so we need to keep the Central City very vital and active. But let's not forget those portions of the city that are out on the perimeters that need to be serviced as well. And they all pay their taxes, and they all feel like they have something coming, huh? You're going to hear from that more from the next gentleman. But more than anything, I just want to emphasize that we, and I think I've personally brought this forward, I would like to have a two-year review. And this was written into the code change that you have just presented. I would like to have a two-year review so that in that 2 years you're reviewing, by the third year you have any amendments that you need to make to the system, and it gives you a chance to make up for inequities that maybe we've overlooked. And as I was said before, I'd be happy to help carry this message forward. And last but not least, I would like to urge a yes vote, but can I just add one little thing on the code? You have a typo that I think needs to be corrected. And on the very last page, it says that these things will be filed, and it says fills with the auditor, and it should be changed to filed with the auditor, I believe. So I would ask you to make that typo change. But last but not least, please vote yes. I think we've done a good job, and I think you have a very good program for the future.
Thank you, Kay. Mel.
I'm Mel Vitsky. I'm a member of the Cully Neighborhood Association and also a member of this committee. It's no secret that Northeast and Southeast has been neglected for years. In this plan, we tried to keep the whole city improved. We don't want a place like Detroit where you have really nice sections of Detroit and then you have bombed out areas that the city is in terrible shape. We need to have the whole city looking good. We want good transportation. We want good streets. We're not going to get development in Northeast and Southeast if we don't improve the overall transportation system, and that includes rapid transit. I love the MAX. We need a little bit of everything. We need those bicycle lanes. We need better streets, and we need our main thoroughfares through Northeast, Southeast improvements. But we just don't want a city that people will say, oh, geez, that really looks nice on that side of the river. What happened to the other side? And we tried to do this so that the whole city benefits and it makes the whole city better, not just I don't want to see just Northeast where I live improved. I want to see the whole city do well. And I've lived at the same address for 35 years, which is just above the airport. And I know the mayor has walked through the Cully neighborhood and realized we have no parks. We have a lot of dirt streets, and we have no curbs and sidewalks in much of our area. So we really need overall the whole city to improve, not just our neighborhood, but we want to see the whole city and have a rounded. I know Sam has worked very hard with rapid transit, and we need that. We need that rapid transit, and that was about it. I've been working all night, so I haven't slept since yesterday. So.
You're doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to ask a question. I'm going to ask this later, but a couple of you mentioned, please accept our recommendations, and I'm going to ask you about one of them. because I have some concerns about it, and that is the you've recognized and acknowledged and done some great work documenting that the discount has created an inequity in the distribution of dollars throughout the city. If you have acknowledged that and recognized that, why are you recommending for it to stay another 4 years and not be eliminated immediately?
My personally would have said do away with it immediately, but the builders, Jim had to leave, but I think that was promoted that the people in the field that are doing the development need to have a little bit of time to adjust their thinking cap.
And how does realize, 4 years, I mean, I understand your perspective, I guess I'm thinking out loud, how does 4 years do that? I could understand something in the process or you were getting a permit for, that's reasonable, but
I think the main thing was that the things that are in the field that are being done right now need time to be completed, and the four-year span gave them a time to complete that without thinking they were going to pick up again with something immediately. That's all I can say, and I was not in favor of the four-year proposal. So
you won't write me a nasty email if I don't agree with that recommendation?
No.
I take you, Randy. I know you think things through.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Brian Wilson and Ty Wyman.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Wilson. I live in Southwest Portland. And by way of disclosure, I did represent the Portland Business Alliance on this committee. However, I am not speaking for them today. I'm speaking from my own heart. And I want to speak briefly about the committee's recommendation to phase out the Todd, specifically just about the Todd phase out. I personally feel that more thought should be given to this issue, that there's a broader conversation that needs to be had here. As one of the only CAC members who actually routinely pays TSDCs and has actually taken advantage of a TOD on occasion, I can honestly represent that they do have an impact and they do make a difference, especially for workforce housing projects, for example, that might be marginally financially viable. But the real issue, as far as I'm concerned, is one of messaging. Virtually everyone in the city embraces some aspect of smart growth and sustainability. However, there are very few examples of tangible programs where we put our money where our mouth is, and the TOD is one of those. It's clearly one of those. And if we ultimately determine that the discount wasn't successful or isn't functioning the way that we want it to, then I suggest that we look for ways to make it successful and function better rather than just give up on the message that building smart around the available mass transit system is not viable. We're adding more mass transit options and serving new neighborhoods all the time, and these areas should have available to them the same tools that have been available to downtown developers and northeast developers for a while now. with respect specifically to the cost impacts of eliminating the TOD, as with all other development soft costs, TSDCs are capitalized and become part of the project's basis. In most instances, the basis is used to set pricing for the end product, whether that price is in the form of rent or a sales price. A discount, any discount given to a project, reduces the basis and makes it easier for the project to price itself competitively. In effect, eliminating a discount is also raising prices to the end user. In most cases, and albeit marginally, but it does add cost, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. I suspect if all of us, including small family businesses like mine that dabble in development, had done a better job educating our tenants and customers about the TOD, maybe we wouldn't be having quite this discussion here today. But that's both of my comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Mr. President, members of the council, Ty Wyman here. I'm a land use attorney in town, doing a lot of work with Providence Health System. On their behalf, I sit on the Institutional Facilities Coalition. And on the coalition's behalf, sat on the CAC. Now, it's interesting that Commissioner Adams spoke of the complications of this and any SDC program, and we certainly agree that they are. And I think the last hour and 20 minutes of presentation to you bear that out. In contrapose to that, however, the coalition's feeling about this is really very, very simple. I believe that you got a letter today from Thomasina Gabriel, setting forth our support for the program update, and the basis of that support is simply our reliance on transit. The institutions that are members of this coalition have extraordinarily high mode splits. Those mode splits arise primarily because of transit. That makes us very reliant on transit, and indeed, in many cases, these institutions have themselves invested in the transit system. An example of that would be shuttles between Providence Portland Medical Center and the transit, the Gateway Transit Center, running on 20-minute headways. To a large extent, our ability to get our students and patients and employees where they need to be, when they need to be there, relies on the transit system. Now, we know that that's first and foremost a regional issue, but nonetheless, that was the dog, and really pretty much the only dog that we had in this fight. Our belief at the end of the day is simply that the project list before you and the rate sheet before you does a good job of supporting transit, and that's why we support the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, that's the end of invited testimony.
Do we have a sign-up sheet?
Yes, we have.
How many people have signed up?
We have three people left on the list.
Okay.
They're Nancy Hand, Brenna Bell, and Veronica Vernier.
Could you read the three names again?
Nancy Hand, Brenna Bell, and Veronica Vernier. She may have left.
Hi. Nancy Hand, Chair of Arnold Creek Neighborhood Association. We would like to encourage you to support our intersection, Southwest Stevenson and Boonsbury Road, TSP project number 90062. We want to remind you that we have some leveraged funding that will go away in 1.5 years. It is most important to get this moved forward as soon as possible so we don't lose those additional funds. As you know, we have some money, but not enough to make this intersection safe. We will need additional funding. As you also know, we have had tremendous growth in our area, especially along Boone's Ferry Road. Therefore, these TSD funds would be the answer to our prayers to make this intersection safe. As you remember from the video we showed during our land use appeal, it is a very dangerous intersection. We had another death on July 20th, this summer. It was just north of the intersection, but does reinforce the fact that people do speed on that blind curve all the time. On August 15th, there was a rear-end collision at the intersection. A driver was trying to make a left-hand turn onto Stevenson and was rear-ended by a driver going south on Boone's Ferry. This is another typical accident at this intersection. It is very critical, as you determined at the hearing last summer, that this intersection be fixed concurrently with the development. We urge you to make this a high priority on this TSDC list. Thanks for your continued support and hard work for all citizens of Portland. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Brenna Bell, and I'm part of Nancy's Neighborhood Association, and I'm also the president of the board and a resident at Tryon Life Community Farm. We are just down a steep hill and around a blind corner from the intersection that Nancy was talking about. And I've been bending everyone's ear that I can about Boone's Ferry Road because it is incredibly dangerous. I can't underestimate how dangerous this road is. And as you've heard from numerous people, Southwest Portland is really underserved in terms of non-automobile transit or traffic. We have one TriMet bus that goes up Boone's Ferry Road that runs sporadically during weekdays. I bike on it on a regular basis, and I quite literally fear for my life every time I go out on Boone's Ferry Road. I take my young daughter with me on my bike, and I think maybe this is the day that we're going to die. Luckily, we haven't, but people do die on a regular basis on this curve. If you've been out there lately, you know that this area needs a lot of love and a lot of support, needs transit money. So while we're just a small dot on the very bottom of the transit projects list, it's a very important one. And I'd like to encourage you all to think about the areas like Southwest Boone's Ferry that have immense growth and no real transportation alternatives except single automobile drivers. And we have about 80 new developments going in within a mile of the intersection where we need a light. So I think this is just the first thing. You know, I'll keep talking to you about a bike lane on Boone's Ferry, maybe next year, maybe the next. something really must be done. Just in conclusion, I've talked to a lot of you all, so I'm on Vision PDX, and we've been really working with what the values of the people of Portland are and making that be a prime concern. And I was thinking about the values in relationship to Southwest Portland and our transit. The city's values that have come through the vision are sustainability, equity and accessibility, community connectedness. And instead, we have a road where at our Sustainability Education and Demonstration Center, we cannot in good conscience invite people to walk or bike to our center. Our neighbors who live just down the road will not walk on Boone's Ferry Road to get to us. That is not an example of community connectedness. It's not an example of sustainability or equity and accessibility. So while I think sometimes Southwest gets dismissed as a bunch of rich people who would prefer to drive, it's really changing in demographics, and I think it needs to be looked at. And this light on Stevenson will just be one way to really achieve a transportation safety on that area that'll benefit everybody. Thank you.
So that concludes our testimony, Mr. Mayor. And I'd like to get feedback from the council if you have thoughts on, is the rate right? Is the what council's thoughts are on the recommended Todd phase out, and then also any comments that you'd have on the list itself that's been recommended by the committee. But before we do that, are there any questions from council for staff or our consultants?
You heard my comment earlier, so you were going to ask some questions.
So in terms of, if it's okay with you, Mayor, to any feedback, we're not voting today again, but any feedback from council on the rate? There's the suggestion from the committee is to keep the rate the same, but phase out the Todd. But on the rate, before I talk about the Todd, on the rate, what are your thoughts on the rate?
Is that indexed for inflation?
Is it indexed for inflation? Yes.
Before we get too far on that, I didn't want to skip over the list. So at the appropriate point, I'd like to.
I was going
to
do that last.
Okay.
So in terms of the rate, it's keep the rate the same. It's indexed to inflation. Any feedback from council on that? And if you want to think about it, that's fine as well. In terms of the Todd, the recommendation for a Todd phase out versus a Todd elimination versus keeping the Todd discount, any thoughts from council on that?
I just wanted to clarify. One of the testifiers indicated that the reason for the four-year phase out was that a number of projects are on the ground, and that would give people time or developers time to come up with alternative budgets and so forth. Is that the case?
Yes. You're speaking of development projects, not road transportation projects.
Yes.
Yes. There was not a specific research assignment to determine exactly how many and exactly how long it would take, but it was sort of the consensus that a phase out at the level that we're talking about of going to two-thirds and then one-third and then gone would be sufficient time for those large projects that are in the pipeline to finish their business or at least be aware they were going to have to start paying.
What's one example of any project that's 4 years out that is including this discount in their financial analysis?
South Waterfront.
Thank you for making my point. I mean, that's that's the area. That's not a project.
Number of projects, though.
I'm asking for an example of one project that somebody said, we are in the Weatherby, we're planning the Weatherby, and this is part of our financial. I mean, I get if somebody is in the permitting process, but I am responsible for the permitting process. I am not aware of any project that's being contemplated with building.
Yeah, I'll just address it from the point of view of the committee. We're a committee. And our job was to come to consensus. And I think you heard from people here that there are some who want the rate to go up. There are some who said the discount should not go away. There are some who say the discount should go away immediately. I think Brian's point about message is important, what we're saying to the central city and what we're saying to the rest of the community. I think the message of equity now is very clear. I think the message of we want to work with you to make this transition workable. So I think the response to your question is we can't necessarily target one project, but this was a group of 19 people who were able to come with a very high level of consensus and say, if this is the way to implement it, this is our recommendation for how to do it.
But that's a different answer than we have projects
Absolutely.
In the pipeline.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you have to pick one of those answers because those are two completely different
We chose the consensus.
I think so. That's where the committee was. Where do you lean, or do you have a thought?
Well, I appreciate that last answer more than the other answer. Frankly, I don't buy. If you're saying that there is shock that the development community needs to absorb, and thus this is a compromise, I get that. I mean, that makes some sense. But there are no projects on the table that this would disrupt that are 4 years out, maybe a year. Maybe there's some deal going on. I get that. My interest would be to find whatever that line is, where you actually have people that are doing their financing, that they're, like we did, we brought up an issue here almost 5 years ago now about abatements for residential in the South Waterfront. And I raised the issue, and that was before this current council is here. We had a discussion about it, and I even felt like it was unfair to drop the hammer that day on that project, because although the policy of abatements seemed to me not to, it's not unlike this policy here, it didn't seem to me to be actually causing development to happen that wouldn't otherwise, that just seemed to be like a gift. It did seem unfair to me on that particular project on that day that they'd had the financing lined up and the contractor lined up to draw the line that day so that they didn't get it. So even I agreed to say, okay, on that one, given that you've got all the financing in the pipeline, that should go through.
So
but
you're saying maybe shorter than four?
Find where that line is, where okay, it's rational to say that if somebody is in the permitting process today, has their financing lined up, I would agree it's not fair to say, okay, we're changing the rules on you. But 4 years, I can just tell you, that's not the line. So 6 months, 8 months, something like that.
If that's Mayor or Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, I guess maybe from a little different point of view, I'm interested in perhaps taking a look at more strategic applications of a TOD, transit-oriented development exemption, perhaps outside of the central city, other areas of the city that might benefit from it. I think, as Brian Wilson pointed out, there are other areas that could truly benefit, and I guess I'd want to see the definition really narrowed so we really assure we're getting something that's more than just something near transit, for instance, in order to get the tax exemption, something that really stands out as something that really minimizes reliance on the auto or something like that. So that's just an idea I have. If we were to take Central City out of the equation, I mean, they've benefited a lot. I think by definition, Central City is transit friendly, no matter where you develop or transit oriented. But I wouldn't say that about other areas, far northeast, far southeast, and other places. Then maybe that's something that I'd be open to taking a look at.
Okay. Mayor, any thoughts?
I'm satisfied with a phase out. If someone wants to produce another method by which we do that, I'm up for that too. But I think it's fair. I think the committee met its issues and values very well.
Thoughts or comments on the projects? My last question.
Yeah, I wanted to. There isn't. There literally after you get after. I want to be careful if I say this. I do not recall that there are any bike boulevards east of 82nd. I will say just flat out, there are none east of I-205.
Scott would know. That's a good point. I'm not.
I've actually talked about it, and I use them. So if there is one east of 82nd, I'm not aware of it. I will just tell you there are none. East of I-205.
So,
what I'd like to see is the extension of there are a number of them that go east from the inner city towards East Portland. I would like to see one that was actually not only extended past, I actually think the last one is like on 67th, is where the last one ends, but maybe it's 82nd, somewhere, wherever that is. For instance, there's one on Clinton that turns into Woodward. I'd actually like to. I've lobbied Commissioner Adams on this in the past, and I mentioned it to Scott, extend that one by example, not just past 82nd, but to I-205, construct a bike pedestrian bridge over 205, and then extend the boulevard east to the Portland city limits, and almost even hopefully in some cooperative way with Gresham, that they might pick up the same kind of transit boulevard for bicyclists in East Portland.
Any other?
Just that.
Mayor, Commissioner Saltzman. This won't be your last chance, but anything that leaps up.
I guess I'd like to see some sort of a pie chart that breaks these down by freight auto, transit, pedestrian, unless that's here somewhere, but I
don't think we did that.
I don't need to see it now. We have the color-coded map to give you an idea of modes, right?
And so you'd like to see it. Just a pie chart that says of the, what, how much money we're projecting over the 10 years, how much is going for freight-related capital, auto-related capital, pedestrian, bicycle.
We do have a significant amount of raw data for that and had a fair amount of discussion at one committee meeting about how to interpret that data because there are pieces of projects that are clearly devoted only to a specific mode. It's only for transit, only for bike. There are significant portions of many of the projects that are sort of core costs that support all the modes, and there were a number of different ways of slicing them, and depending on which assumption you made, you could either make specific modes look better than other modes or you could generalize. And the committee, I think, finally surrendered too much data and said, you got the modes covered, leave it alone.
Okay.
But we'll see what we can do for you in the way of a pie chart.
My comment would be I thought that the suggestion to pull out the intermodal out of North Portland and see what's left, I mean, what remains in terms of SDC projects was a useful comment. I'd like to see that happen. All right. We'll be returning to the City Council probably in 2 or 3 weeks with a recommendation from my office. And I just want to thank our consultants again, Randy Young and Sumner Sharp. I really appreciate all your work. I want to thank the committee who put in lots of hours on this and headed up by Rick. Thank you, Rick, very much. Really appreciate it. And then Don Gardner, behind the scenes force, and then especially Catherine Levine, just fantastic work. Really appreciate it. We'll be back.
Good report.
Thank you.
Let me ask a process. This is an ordinance that only moves to a second reading. You're saying that it's not...
Move it back to my office.
Move it back to your office. Yep. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Thanks.
Excellent presentation.
You hire Catherine.
Please read the 3:30 time certain. Hey, folks, if you could go outside for your conversations, we still have another piece of business to do. Thank you.
Item 1085, amend contract with the Latino Network and provide for payment for an additional $72,310 for the continued development and implementation of the Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy for the period July 1, 2007 through June 30, 2008.
The Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy is designed to broaden diverse participation in the civic governance of the city, to develop the organizational leadership skills of emerging community-based leaders with a focus on communities of color, immigrants, and refugees. This is one of several new ONI initiatives that provides a framework for the city's public involvement efforts and neighborhood system to better serve and engage traditionally underrepresented population groups in civic governance. I want to thank the 40 community members who've been recruited and are participating in this joint project with Latino Network, the Center for Intercultural Organizing, and Oregon Action. This project has important goals for the city, including building the community's capacity to advance policies for economic and social equity for their communities, encourage more diverse representation on city committees and neighborhood systems, and encourage collaboration between diverse community and neighborhood organizations. So we have some presenters today. And Jerry, are you going to lead off the discussion?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mayor Potter. My name is Jerry Williams, and I'm the Neighborhood Program Coordinator for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Project Manager for the Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy. I would first like to thank you all for the opportunity for us to give an update on the progress of the Leadership Academy. It's also important for me to mention that the ideas for these Diversity Leadership Academies and organizing projects came out of community effort. We'd like to thank all the hardworking people who participate in the Diversity and Civic Leadership Advisory Committees and the 70 to 100 community members who have come out and participated in giving input on the development of these programs that we've held for over the last year. The concept was also proposed several years ago through the Public Involvement Task Force. I personally have had the distinct honor of being able to participate in the gatherings of the Leadership Academies, both their cross-cultural events and their separate events, and they're doing amazing work. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Maria Lisa.
Mayor Potter and commissioners, good afternoon. I'm Maria Lisa Johnson. I'm the executive director of Latino Network. And this afternoon, I have the privilege of joining my colleagues at the Center for Intercultural Organizing and Oregon Action and our emerging leaders to thank you for your investment in our communities. As you know, the Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy, which was initiated this past June, builds leadership and organizational capacity within communities that have traditionally been excluded from the political process. And though we have only a few months to report on, we are inspired of the possibility of change that our project and joint work represents. Last week, we brought together about 35 leaders of various nations and ethnicities, and we held a completely bilingual training, United Nations style, such that only a few seconds passed between the spoken word and the nod of understanding. It was exhilarating to see the strength of this convergence. One of our Russian participants who took part in the role play on the creation of a day labor center advocated heatedly for the rights of day laborers in Portland. And a Latina participant stated that she had never been in a room with people from so many different ethnicities and countries. New immigrants participating in our walk through the history of immigration in this country stated, "Now I realize we're not the only ones who have immigrated." Our project is building bridges where few connections have existed. We are creating a path to leadership. I hope your vision, Mayor, will soon be fulfilled and you will see a mix of people in City Hall debating, proposing, and working together to build a better Portland. Thanks for your support.
Hi, my name is Ana Berta. I'm going to speak Spanish because I'm not so good in English. Yo solo quiero darle las gracias por el apoyo que se nos ha dado.
I want to thank you for the support that you have given us.
Es mi primera vez aquí y quise hacerlo porque realmente es un proyecto muy bueno.
It's my first time in City Hall and I really wanted to do this because this is a really good project.
Es primera vez que ha unido varias comunidades, los African American y otras latinos también.
It's the first time that we have come together as different communities, African American, Latinos, and others.
And yo soy miembro del grupo de vecinos en alerta de la comunidad de Clara Vista.
I am a member of Neighbors on Alert from the community of Clara Vista.
Y esta es una gran oportunidad para aprender a ser buenos líderes, no solamente líderes sin entrenamiento, sino es una buena oportunidad para aprender más de otras comunidades.
And this is a great opportunity to learn more about leadership, and not only leadership, but to learn more about other communities as well.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Up next, we have Casey Jama from Center for Intercultural Organizing, Therese Lugano, a participant with Center for Intercultural Organizing, and Joanne Bowman from Oregon Action.
Good afternoon, Mayor Tom Borer and commissioners. My name is Casey Chama. I am the executive director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. I'm privileged today, this afternoon, to participate and support the Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy amendment for the contract. As Maria Lisa mentioned, that the Center for Intercultural Organizing, Oregon Action, and Latino Network collaborated and created such a unique opportunity in Portland where a diverse immigrant, refugees, and the long-time community of color gathered together to build a common theme and common analysis to understand each other and also to create skills necessary to participate civic engagement in this city. As Maria Lisa said also that the community of color particularly has been excluded in the process of the political system in Portland. And what we are hoping to do in this project is create and partner with the city and the other community members to create an opportunity where cross-cultural communities can have a dialogue, participate, and create a deliberative participatory democracy, and that's the goal of the project. So this project is really, really unique opportunity. I also have a privilege to participate in this project at the beginning when it actually was conceived as an idea when I was working the Office of Neighborhood Involvement at Southeast Uplift. So I have a really long history of this project participating creation and also now as a grantee to develop and to make it happen. I also had the privilege to witness the collaboration and the collective process that took place both the Center for Intercultural Organizing, Oregon Action, and Latina Network. And it really, this was the first time that all the community who were there, the 40 participants and other staff, felt that there is some common understanding or common space building among this community. So I really want to encourage you to support this process because we are hoping to make this project to be a lasting and really making an impact and creating a process where city government and the community can partner to create a lasting deliberative democracy. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and commissioners. I'm Joanne Bowman. I'm the Executive Director of Oregon Action. And I'd like to echo several comments that were made by Maria Lisa as well as KC. My organization trains low-income people to advocate for their own best interests. So when this funding opportunity came along, we thought, well, this is a natural fit with our organization. But what surprised me as we got into this program is how significantly different it is than anything we've ever done before. When you talk about the people that we've brought together, I think at one count we said we had 30 nations represented, about 23 different languages. And as an English-only language speaker, to be in a room where what you're saying is being translated, and you have to also wait for the translation for the response so that everybody's on the same page, was a phenomenal experience. And it was a phenomenal experience for English-only speakers because we're not normally in a position where we're waiting for translated information. We're normally the ones that are providing the information. So what we've created is an opportunity where everybody, all 45 members, are truly leaders and have something to add to the class. In addition to that, what we're also doing is really bridging those gaps across cultures, across race, across economic lines, and really making City Hall accessible to people who never saw City Hall as a place that they should come, much less that they would be welcome to come and provide their input and their feedback. And so I just want to add my thanks and appreciation for the visionary leadership that made this possible, and to thank you for your additional funding so that at the end of this process, we'll have 45 leaders who will be real clear about their place in City Hall and how they can influence that process. So thank you.
My name is Teresa Lugano. I thank you to welcome me here. It's the first time in my life to be here since I've been in United States. I came from Republic Democratic of Congo, and I was member of the parliament there. Now I'm here as refugee. I'm part of the Diversity and Civic Leadership Academy and the Intercultural Center. By the way, I will say just sorry because I'm a French speaker. My English can be a little fuzzy, but I hope you will understand me. It was really fantastic to be part of that program, that leadership training. I learned a lot. First, I learned about how the history of America and how the government worked. Because when we came here, we don't have time for those things. We have time just to survive, to have a little job and survive with in this country and to learn a lot. So I never have time to learn really about how the government work in this country. And it was the first time through this program I learned it. Also, it was powerful to be, to share the space with the refugee and the immigrant around all the world. For the first time, I was with the Russian, the Mexican, and I find, and others, and I find myself, I was not alone in a lot of problems we have when we immigrate in the country. Through this leadership, really, I felt for the first time that we can have a voice. And also, we learn the skill how to advocate for our community and for other immigrants and the refugee. I remember one example. They give us, we make like a game, how we can go and talk to the school board about the program of our children who came from another country. And it was really, really tough because we didn't know that we have to respect time and we have to do this. And we couldn't even speak. The time was off and just we stand up and they said, no, it's over. They didn't let us even open our mouth because we didn't know that here in the United States, it's time when you have just to respect the time and you have to be able to express yourself for the short time. By the way, I'm just really, really impressed by this program, and I'm happy for it. I couldn't know. It's now 7 years I have been in this country. It's the first time to know that the City Hall is in this place and to come in front of you. Thank you very much to give us the opportunity to see you guys and to express ourselves. And if you can give the resources to this program, I think in 2 or 3 years, we can be able to give more on this city. Thank you. Thank you.
Jerry, are there others to you signed up? Do we have a sign-up sheet?
We do. We have Veronica Bernier. Veronica?
I don't think she's here, is she?
Is there?
Is she? Oh.
I missed the other one. I'm sorry. I'm coming in. I went to do something. Good afternoon, Mayor Potter. Good afternoon, Commissioner Saltzman, Sam Adams, and good afternoon, Randy. Hi, Randy. It's nice to see you again. Great. Thanks for the coffee, Sam.
You're welcome.
Oh, no, I'm just
He's
kidding.
Turning red.
That was sweet of you. It's always good to know that the Vanguard class at BSU
actually
is supported by
him.
City Council. You're here. No.
That was a sympathetic blush.
Good afternoon, ladies. I support their issue. We always try to, at Portland State University, speak to diversity issues and welcome the support of the group here. I could understand most of what she said, and I support that. I think it's really important that we all enlarge our points of view to encompass what they were talking about. And quite frankly, that's the first time I've seen these nice ladies. I was really remarking on her native dress was so pretty. The white dress is very nice looking. And we at Portland State always try to notice what people are wearing because we are trying to be culturally competent. And sometimes that means stretching your point of view a little bit to encompass many, many different issues. But it's still, along the lifespan, it's really important. I just noticed that Eric Sten wasn't here, and I'm happy to see him anytime I do see him. I've known Eric since he was 8, and he's essentially the same, never different.
You've known him 4 years?
What's that?
You've known him 4 years?
Yeah, no, 8 years old. 8 years old. Well, Eric and Eric used to. Eric actually, he goes back quite a ways, and he's always been right on the cutting edge of housing, and basically he's doing a great job wherever he's at. I'm sorry to hear that he's not here, but it is important. I wanted to put in a plug for something else, but I just wanted to say that you're doing a great job. And next time I sign up, I'll try to get here at the right time. But I do support the issue you just addressed. So thanks a lot. And remember, the PSU Vikings are playing UC Davis
Saturday.
September 8th. Yeah. So be there at B Square, okay? Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Veronica.
Is that it?
That's all who signed up.
Okay. Well, I want to thank all the folks that came in today. This is a non-emergency, so it will not be voted on today. What is the time and the date for the vote on this?
That'll come back in the next week's morning session, September 12th, the 9:30 session.
You know, the thing that struck me, and some of the speakers alluded to it, is how the different diverse communities are coming together. And I see a lot of power in that. And I see by educating on how to work within government, you can increase manyfold your influence on the decisions that affect your communities. So I think this is a great program, and I look forward to it continuing for many years to come. Really appreciate that, and thank you. Since it moves to a second reading, and this is the last business of the day, we are recessed until 2 p.m. tomorrow afternoon. Thank you.